Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the game. Well, let's go for take two of this. Seems like we had a little technical difficulty. Appreciate you hanging with us. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. It is Monday and we are back. Hopefully you enjoyed your weekend. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. We're going to be joined by special guest Earl Burnett, Casual Sports. He's going to talk to us about some of the Sun Devils. Tough loss. A very good Fresno State team in the Las Vegas Bowl, so we'll get into that. I told you, Bears were going to handle those Packers, and they did. I also called that Indianapolis game. Now, I was 100% wrong about the Giants, but what has gotten into the Rams? The Suns had a trade. They made a trade. Then they didn't make a trade. But then they made a trade. Then they thought they were getting Mel Brooks. Wrong Brooks. I'll get that straight before we get on. But the trade is official. Details of the trade are up on thesportscave.com. But look, everyone, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, on Alma School and Chandler Heights. 4901 South Alma School would be exact. Again, let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. You also can become a club member. Get your locker, backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad ever. As Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine as well. Like I said, get in there, check them out. Let them know if PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Like I said, a lot of stuff going on this week. I want to jump right into this because we do have a guest calling in here shortly. But what's going on in the world of sports right now? Which way is up in football? Which way is down? Coaches on a hot seat. Coaches not on a hot seat. Coaches you think be on a hot seat, they're not. Coaches that you think shouldn't be, they are. Steelers finally find a way to beat the Patriots. Well, look, we're going to deal with all this. Call number is 917-889-7828. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. If you'd like to jump in, use one of those topics, great. If not, like to know what's on your mind, do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is PLR. Welcome to the Cave Show.
Hey, Paul, it's Lou.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, if you want to mention Garth Brooks, maybe you could find Garth Brooks in the mix, too. So.
You're not kidding. I thought they were someone in that room had to be smart enough to figure out which Brooks they were talking about to get that deal to go through. But
yes.
Then again, I may be giving too many people too much credit.
Well, I don't know about that.
But in a long deal, to be perfectly honest with you, I think the Suns got a much better deal. I think you get Kelly Oubre. Basically, the trade that we're talking about is, and let me kind of back up for those that may not know, the Suns were attempting to trade Trevor Ariza to the Washington Wizards. In return, they were going to get Austin Rivers. Kelly Oubre was going to go to the Memphis Grizzlies. And then the Suns were going to get, they wanted Dylan Brooks. The Grizzlies were going to give them Marshawn Brooks and a conditional second-round pick, and it just all got tangled up. And, you know, Marshawn, the Suns didn't want Marshawn. They wanted Dylan. No one thought to mention the names. And the Suns are taking a lot of heat for this, but I'm going to blame Memphis on this as well, because if you're trading a player and they're on your team, I'd say know what player that the other team is talking about as well. So you get all that going on, and basically, the Suns just ended up trading Trevor Ariza to the Washington Wizards in return for Kelly Oubre and for Austin Rivers. Up-and-coming Kelly Oubre, who's having a very productive fourth year, and Austin Rivers, we've seen him in New Orleans. We've seen him play for his dad out in L.A. with the Clippers, and then as a backup to John Wall in Washington. So we'll see what happens now.
Because the deal was dead on Friday, but then just last night they came up with a new plan. So at least it worked.
Yeah, at least it worked. Yeah, that deal was supposed to go through in essence at 12:01 on Saturday morning, and it all fell apart. But by Sunday or by late Saturday, they had worked. Trades cannot be official until the league office opens on Monday, and so once everything got open, then everything took place, so it is an official done deal now.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Pittsburgh beat the Patriots last night.
You talk about a win that a team needed.
Yeah,
the Steelers needed that win. It wasn't just a want, especially with Baltimore continuing to win and to put pressure on them. They needed that win. Lou? Maybe I'm going to be one, not the first, but one of the first people to say this. And it is true. No matter how we want to slice it, Tom Brady ain't Tom Brady anymore.
Had to happen sooner or later.
It happens to every great athlete. But
yes, it does.
Those throws aren't the same throws. I mean, there's no dancing around that. They're not. He's not the same. Gronk isn't the same. Gronk runs around the field like he's carrying Godzilla on his back. He's not the same Gronk.
No. As commercial wasn't nothing to sneeze. It wasn't nothing to write home about either. Ugh.
And Josh Gordon, who I didn't think would be Randy Moss, obviously, but I thought he'd provide more than what he's providing, and it almost seems like New England may have to take a page out of New Orleans, the New Orleans Saints playbook, and maybe become more of a run team to protect Tom Brady, because I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I just don't think he has it 16 times a year anymore.
No. Well, we were discussing I was hearing something on another show that I was doing last night. Do you think the NFL has become more of a quote-unquote pass-happy league in recent years?
Without a doubt, until the playoffs start.
Ah. Yeah, what happened to the running game?
And it's who can run and defend the run. Well, you know what? It's funny because everyone talks about, think about how hypocritical this is, and I think it's just a position that the NFL doesn't want to pay they've beat this into everyone's head. Running backs are interchangeable. Running backs are interchangeable. Running backs are interchangeable. It doesn't really matter. You can find a running back in the fifth round. You can find a running back in the sixth round. Okay. And I said this one day on this very show. Zeke Elliott is one of the best running backs in the league, correct?
Yes.
Drafted in the first round. Todd Gurley is considered to be the best running back in the league. Drafted in the first round.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell, top running back, drafted in the first two, three rounds. You can't just, it's an anomaly to go and find a sixth rounder, a fifth rounder, and a fourth rounder. Look, I think Alvin Kamara is a baller. I do. He's not Todd Gurley. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Ezekiel Elliott. So what you're basically doing is, and I think it's kind of funny, you're tying up two roster spots when you have a Bell and an Ingram, I mean a Kamara and an Ingram, when you're tying up one roster spot. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all know how good Le'Veon Bell is.
Okay.
Look how open the offense is without him. And then you slide in James Conner. And James Conner did a good job. He wasn't Le'Veon Bell, but he did a good job. So now when that guy gets hurt, no knock to Samuels. He's a pro. But there is a big drop-off from what Le'Veon Bell gave you to what Samuels gives you. It does matter. You know, Tom Brady may have been a sixth-round pick, and that's an anomaly. But when you look back and look at some of the quarterbacks in this league, Aaron Rodgers wasn't a sixth-round pick. Andrew Luck wasn't a sixth-round pick. Cam Newton wasn't a sixth-round pick. Matt Ryan wasn't a sixth-round pick. Matt Stafford wasn't a sixth-round pick. These guys weren't sixth-round picks. They don't just lay around.
Right.
Drew Brees wasn't a sixth-round pick. Russell Wilson, well, they got him in the third round. Was not a sixth-round pick. That's an anomaly. But when it comes to running backs, they want to drill that in your head so much that they can now try to underpay the running back. But you go out and get a good running back, Saquon Barkley might be the best running back in the league right now behind Todd Gurley. He wasn't a sixth-round pick. You didn't just find him in the fourth round. So there is a difference. I always say don't let the NFL, don't let facts get in the way of truth. And I'm going to hit you with another truth too, Lou. Everyone talks about the New Orleans Saints, right? Everyone talks about the New Orleans Saints. You do not want to play the Saints in New Orleans, right? You don't, definitely don't want to do that. You don't want to go into that dome and be and that hostile crowd and take on the Saints. The Saints are 11-2. You want to guess where they lost those two games? Or one of those two games?
Yeah, you mean the Saints?
Yeah. Want to guess where they lost one of those games? Right there in the dome. You know where they lost one of their road games? I mean, and they lost one on the road. Every team is beatable at home. There's no team in the NFL right now that is so special that they can't lose anywhere. Now, I understand you have a better shot if you can get them out in the conditions, but if they're going to run the ball on you, it doesn't really matter. Herm Edwards, the coach of ASU, said something that makes a lot of sense. He said it doesn't matter what the weather is. It could be 1,000 degrees. It could be 1,000 degrees under. Defense and running the ball will travel. And that's what New Orleans does.
Yeah, they do.
So, what you got for me, my friend, before this guest calls in?
How much time do I got left? Well, of course, we had the bowl games the third Saturday, and I didn't get a chance to catch the Vegas Bowl, though. But
that's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. The good guys lost.
I can tell it didn't go so well, did it?
No, it didn't go well at all. Fresno State, they were, they didn't win 11 games, or after that one, it was 12. They didn't win 12 games by mistake. Good team.
But I heard, now I know you don't really follow the Lakers that much, but Lakers had a pretty interesting game on Saturday. I mean, it's great that when one player can get a triple-double, but have you ever heard a time when two players score a triple-double?
Very rare. Very rare, and I did see.
First time in 11 years.
Yep, very rare for that to happen.
Yeah.
But the young Lonzo Ball had a good game, and there's certain places where you know LeBron is going to play well. Got to play well in Cleveland. Got to play well in New York.
Right.
He's going to play well when Michael Jordan is in the building. You just know that's going to happen. He's going to play well in Miami.
Yes.
Those are places where he just plays well.
Yeah, and Jerry Butler seems to be okay after his brief injury with his groin, and he did pretty well last night for the Sixers.
Yes. Yep, he's back to normal.
Simmons, triple-double.
Yeah, I have a lot to talk about. Simmons just don't have a lot of time.
Right. But, you know, Simmons, they didn't give much of a fair shake since his first season he was pretty much out with injuries.
Yeah, no, it's called the Philadelphia 76ers redshirt program. Usually every draft pick they make takes a redshirt year. Yeah.
Is your guest
new
coming
program.
Now? Because I'll go.
Yes. Yes, you just hopped on the line. So I will catch up with you tomorrow, hopefully, my friend.
Okay, so long.
All right, buddy. Always good to catch up with a little good friend of the program. Always have some insight. Yeah, I like Ben Simmons, but miss me on that. He's the next LeBron James deal. Anyway, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, first time on the show. Pleasure to have him on. You know him, does casual sports, AM 1060. He's the man himself, the one, the only. Earl Burnett, my man, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the KF Show with PLR. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Good. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure. Finally get in the cave, man. It's pretty cool.
Hey, you almost caught my rant about Ben Simmons and him being the next LeBron. I think that's the biggest bunch of bullcrap I've ever heard in my life.
That's another story, but I'm with you on that one.
Learn how to shoot for more than 4 feet out. Spend the summer in the gym shooting jump shots because this is great. I love the triple doubles. If you play fantasy basketball, he's a great guy to have on your team. But when those playoffs roll around and you give now Toronto with the claw playing defense and you give Boston, again, we see what Boston did to him last year. And that's all Brad Stevens and those other good coaches have to lock in on. You are now.
Right.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah.
Shoot a jumper.
You're not battle tested yet.
Yeah. Your battle failed because last year they locked you up.
Right. Exactly.
So I have a spin, and I've been called a homer about 3 or 4 times today, and that's fine. ASU is my school. I went there. Mm-hmm. I ride with them. The cape is on. I'm biased. I don't do that non-biased bull crap. Losing in the Las Vegas Bowl to me felt different than losing last year in the Sun Bowl. I felt like the Sun Bowl was the bowl they qualified for, so they went to it. Graham called plays because he was going to be a stand-up guy. Even though he knew he was fired, he was going to follow through and not bail out like a lot of coaches would. Coach the game.
Right.
No one really seemed interested. This year seemed different. I mean, everyone respected the fact that N'Keal Harry was not going to put his body on the line, which I don't blame him for at all, when he's going pro. Manny was playing in his last game, official game, seemed emotional, but they just seemed like the offense was without that big gun. So it was just
exactly.
A different atmosphere. People wanted to be there. The result just didn't turn out. Did you get that same feeling about the team?
I actually did. I mean, coming in, I kind of felt that like they were using this game as a marker to see where they measure up. And you know, this team has a dog like attitude. Like, we're not backing down from anybody. And I still felt they wanted to come in and win this game. But at the same time, they knew they were handicapped coming into this game. And so this was like a measurement game to me, I think. And I think they measured up. Even though they lost the game the way they lost it, they hung with this pretty good team. They won 12 games. So, I mean, hey, you're missing two big guns. Of course, you're on offense, one on offense being N'Keal, and they're on defense missing Robertson. they hung in there and did and played pretty well. It was a measurement type of game. That's what I think it was.
So do I, especially with Eno Benjamin running so well against a team that had such a good run defense. What it showed me
exactly.
is the part of this team, Earl, and you've been just about to every – you covered every ASU football game. That offensive line just did not get the love that I think they should have got for all that they did this year.
That is so correct, man. And Eno wasn't having it in the press conference. He was letting it be known. We got road graders up front, and they all coming back next year. This front line was awesome. I mean, and unexpectedly, you know, awesome. Nobody expected them to have this type of running game. And so they're in good hands. That running game is going to be their bell cow. You know, if Herm has anything to do with it, that running game is going to be their bell cow from here on out. So I was encouraged about their offensive line. And those guys are road graders, big time.
Now, I said this, and before I go on the here on the Carry Like You La La Lion on the Cave Show, this is PLR with Earl Burnett. Earl, am I saying this out of turn? Am I speaking too fast? We know the Heisman Trophy should be called the quarterback trophy because they don't like to give it to anyone unless you're a quarterback. But going into next season, should ASU start the hype about Eno for the Heisman?
Yeah, I stated that on my post-game show last night. He better be in the running. And just the fact of what they're going to be next year, a running team to begin with, he's going to be in it. I mean, this kid is putting – he's already putting up breaking Pac-12 records left and right. So he's going to be in the question. If he's not, what's the deal? I mean, that's got to be something wrong if he's not in the equation. But I think he's going to be there. I think next year he's going to be even better. Next year, because he's more hungry right now, and as ticked off as he looked in that presser, he's like he's ready to get back on the field right now and do it. I mean, he's breaking Pac-12 records left and right, and he's going to be the man next year. He's going to be the man.
Do you think that ASU, because we see this all the time with schools, when they have a guy that they think is an early Heisman hopeful, they start the propaganda early? It's been a long time since ASU has had a guy going into the season that you could start the propaganda. Do you think ASU is going to do that?
Absolutely. I think they will. I mean, they have three of the 20 top recruits coming in, first of all. Let me start with this. The Herm Edwards effect is starting to take effect now. All these recruits that usually would have picked these other schools, they're coming here now. The Herm effect is taking control now. Now you got Eno Benjamin with that front line coming back. These guys know what's going to be. They are going to be. I think they'll run the Pac-12 next year. In my opinion, this is just me because I'm like you. I'm a little biased myself, but yes, we should be in the whole. We should be in the running, and with this running game and the recruits coming in, man, it's nothing but up. This program is going in the right direction, and I'm excited about it, man. And Eno's going to be – he better be in that Heisman Trophy race next year for sure. If he's not, then I don't know what's going on with college football if he's not.
Yeah, you know what? I just hope for once that something other than a quarterback – like I said, it should be two awards now. It should be the Heisman Award and the Heisman Quarterback Award because if you're not playing QB, they just basically throw it out. Here on the Carry Like You La line, the one, the only Earl Burnett here in the Cave Show with PLR. So something you said in this last ASU football question, Herm, we know, can flat out recruit. And I said this when I was at that press conference when he was introduced. And I love all the naysayers. And I'm going to just say it, and they can call me what they want when they see me at sporting events. I remember when Todd Graham was in his last year, and everyone said how Todd Graham should be let go. Great guy, but should be let go. Then they let Todd Graham go, and they bring in Herm Edwards. And then just about everyone on radio in Phoenix said, ooh.
What are you doing?
Todd closed strong. maybe, you know, you should have given him another try. He's, you know, Herm's been out the game. And I remember saying to people, Herm has not been out the game because Herm coached the Under Armour team. And to
that's
go
right.
into college, that's big because he's already built a lot of rapport with the people he needs to know to get kids to come to school here. Then he comes
mm-hmm.
here and bites through the naysayers. But ASU, all of a sudden, ends up on 3 ESPN Prime games. They end up on 2
right.
Fox Sports Prime games.
Yep.
All I don't find very coincidental. He then goes into
uh-huh.
SC, beats SC in California, beats UCLA, and the fertile recruiting ground. This wasn't just
right.
about, and maybe people can see now, this wasn't just about Herm and they, as people said, him being a CEO, what the heck does that mean? And I'm like, shut up, Saban's been doing it forever in Alabama. It's
right,
just, they
right.
gave an official title here. Did you see this, or do you think people now see this? This wasn't just bringing in Herm. ESPN talks Herm all the time. If you don't think kids hear that, you're nuts.
Exactly. I think one thing we have to definitely keep in mind is this Herm Edwards, NFL coach, ex-NFL coach, and these kids see – I mean, let's look at N'Keal Harry, for instance. You know, you can't tell me that he didn't profit a whole lot from this NFL coach, him heading to the NFL. All these kids are going to see that as the advantage. Hey, we got an NFL coach here that's going to teach us these things, how the NFL run. And Herm pretty much coached like an NFL coach coaching ASU this year. You can see it in his clock management. You can see it in everything he was doing on the field. It was almost NFL style. So these kids are going to come here knowing, okay, first of all, I'm going to get the exposure. Second of all, I'm going to get talk from an NFL coach going into the NFL. That is huge. And then when you look at it too, 3 of the top 20 recruits, Alabama was one. Jaden Daniels, Alabama was one of his choices. Ohio State, and then 3 of the Pac-12, Cal, Utah, UCLA. And this kid chooses ASU. That's the Herm effect. He knows Herm's going to teach him the stuff that he's going to need going into the NFL. I love it. And it's going to be that way from here on out. As long as Herm is the coach, kids are going to start coming this way. And we're going to be a pretty dang good program going forward, man. I'm telling you, it's going down. The Herm effect is in control. It's in effect. We are on the bus.
Ray Anderson has done an incredible job at ASU.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's getting the love that he deserves either, because getting the football program turned around and going in the right direction, hiring Bobby Hurley, who has been incredible for the Sun Devils,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, about 2 years ago, when he first got hired, I don't know how he did it, but he got Kentucky on the schedule, and ASU went to Kentucky, and they got their brains beat in. I mean, it wasn't
right.
even – ASU lost when they walked in the gym. It was done. But I think what it said was, we're going to play anybody and everybody at any time in any gym,
right.
in any arena. And I'm not kicking dirt on the dead, but the previous regime, they played Sacramento South State. They played Northwest Washington Delta. They played anybody
right.
but anybody and out of college.
Right.
And now
exactly.
you see a coach that scheduled Nevada, followed by Georgia on the road, Vanderbilt on the road, and then comes home to play Kansas, and then plays Princeton. And people don't realize Princeton is a tough team to beat. So
right.
you have this gauntlet, and you won one of the two already. Ray
yeah.
Anderson done a good job. Charlie's girls play
yeah.
well. Ray, if there was an executive of the year, I think Ray should get that. But switching to pros, switching to the Cardinals, this won't be a long segment because it really ain't that much.
It can't be.
I mean, we just won't keep this real.
Story every week. Yeah.
So the Cardinals, and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, one only, Earl Burnett. Okay, so. Cardinals, we know they need some help at receiver and at offensive line, and they could use a couple of pieces on the defensive line, and a linebacker would help, and some secondary help would be nice, and if they could find a tight end that could catch, and maybe some run blocking. But once they shore up all those things, they're going to be a good team next year. Will their current coach
just name the whole team, man? They just need a whole new team.
I love David Johnson and Rosen. I didn't say quarterback and running back. I just had a few pieces.
Okay. Right.
Will this coach be the coach opening day?
Oh, man. Just the gut feeling, I don't think he makes it. He'll get these last two games, and they'll go ahead and let him finish out this year, but I don't think he's going to be the man to push this team to the next level or to get them over the hump, to get them back to, you know, to being a playoff team. One thing I did not like about Steve Wilks, and I'm not him personally, I'm just saying as a coach. First of all, rookie coach, you got to start somewhere, and it's not that he's a rookie, but you have to start somewhere, and that's okay. But when you start as a rookie, you have to come in with the mindset of being ready to adjust to your roster. And he didn't do that. He came in stubborn. I'm not changing what I do. This is what I do. And that's what really got to me. I'm like, that's not going to last too long, man, because you have to play to your strength. And how does Deion Buchanan sit on the sidelines and you don't use him? That's a first string player. He's not a third string or a second string player. He's a first string player that can make plays and if you put him on the field. You got to change and adapt to your roster. And when he came in, he said, "I'm running my stuff," as though he had Luke Kuechly and them on his roster. I don't know. He must have thought we had somebody like that. But no way do we have Luke Kuechly or Thomas Davis on this roster. So you have to take what you've got and put that on the field and make something. You got to kind of bend and break it till this thing comes together. And he didn't do that. He just said, "I'm staying with what I'm staying with," and this is the result of that. Your defense, our defense, was supposed to be the thing that held this thing together to get us to 8-8, 7-9 even this year. That was what I from the beginning. Okay, we're going to struggle on offense, I know, but defensively we should be hanging in some game. We're going to lose games close. That's not even nowhere near happening, and so that points to coaching. That points to the man in charge. So yes, this last two games, I don't see it being any different. I don't see it changing. I don't see them going taking the Rams out. I don't see them taking Seattle out in Seattle. This team has a plateau. They do one good drive per first quarter, and they plateau out, and they give up. That is over with. The game's over with. That's coaching. That's coaching, man, and he's not going to make it through this season, man. Next season. He's not going to be here next season. And now you got to start asking the question, is Kime going to be there with them? Because what do? You can't just – Kime is the one who brought the guy in to buy the groceries. I mean, to run the team. He brought the guy in to run the team saying, "This is the guy, and this is not the guy." So your evaluation process was really a little jaded, man. So now we got to look at you now. So I don't know. Maybe it might be both these guys. Both Steves may be gone. But if I know Michael Bidwell, he may give Kime one more chance to fix this whole thing, and that's probably what they're going to bank on later.
I'm with you. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Wilks came back, but Kime, I think, should be gone. I thought Kime should have been gone after the DUI.
Really?
Not because he's not human.
Right. Hello? Got a bad connection here. Hello?
Earl, are you back with me?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I guess I got a bad connection, man.
No. You know what? We had a bad connection as well.
Okay.
But I was saying, I thought Steve Kime should have been fired then, because how do you tell a player, you know what, we're going to discipline you for this, when the discipline that he got was terrible discipline? He was basically banned from the facility when you really didn't need a GM. To me, if you're really going to discipline him,
you ban him from January to June. That means he's not part of the draft. That means that
right.
he's not making personnel decisions at the time. That's, to me, how you punish a GM. You can't punish
exactly.
a GM at that time. So, and also, he's been around for a while, and the biggest problem with the Cardinals have been their offensive line forever. So you can't talent evaluate the one position you need
right.
to get better at after all this
right.
time. So I thought he should have been gone a while ago. So I think for the NFL coach, you got to hang on 2 years, no matter what. You got to bite the bullet, because now you got to bring in a whole new regime, and you got a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
and you got to bring in somebody
over.
Else,
yeah.
and you got to start all over. So I think
right.
he last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Khan was sent packing.
Wow.
So
you know that's interesting, because I mean with Khan, you would you know the thing that his bell cow that he's hanging on to is. This rookie class that he got this year came in, and they're on the field. They're the ones that are producing on the field. So that gives him the credit of, hey, his evaluation in that aspect worked. And, of course, David Johnson, the previous ones, you know, a few others back in, you know, his evaluating up to this point has been suspect, but then these four rookies have kind of helped him to hold on a little bit longer. And I think that's probably why he's still going to be here, because of these rookies that came in this year are going to be some players. And so, but I don't know. Hey, it could happen, man. He could be gone just as well. But Steve Wilks, I like your point. 2 years, you got to give him a chance to come corrected. But, you know, the fans and everybody wants somebody's head has to roll. Somebody's head's going to roll through this whole thing. This is just bad, man. This is beyond bad. Somebody's head has to
yeah.
roll.
I agree with you. You ever see the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves when he was a quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. This is basically the offensive line that Khan got to
yeah.
play and block for him. Don't nobody know who
right.
these guys are. It's a dude that was in that bad Steve Harvey movie, the dancing movie with B2K. He went out and found those guys. This offensive line.
Yeah. Yes.
It's god awful.
Wasn't he
so,
an offensive lineman himself, though, Steve?
That's the
point.
Wasn't
he an offensive lineman? Yeah.
He was. That's the point.
Right.
You can't talent evaluate your position?
Your
Come
position.
On,
that's got to be a little, yeah. whew, that's bad.
Last topic, and I'll let you get here. The Suns. So, Ed Smith and Ed Cole. They say that I'm on a narcotic called the Phoenix Suns. And no matter what happens, I won't kick this narcotic. And I'm one of the few people
Good.
That cover the Suns in the Valley that always looks for the silver lining. And I'm going
right.
to look for the silver lining one more time this weekend. So we know that there was a bumble made with this trade. And the Suns wanted Dylan Brooks, and the Grizzlies wanted to give up Marshawn Brooks. And
right.
everyone is saying, how did the Suns not know? I'm going to turn this around a little bit on this Trevor Ariza trade. How did Memphis not know which Brooks they were giving up? See,
exactly.
I think it's easy in Phoenix to blame the Suns, but if they're getting
mm-hmm.
the merchandise and they say, whoa, we thought we were getting the other Brooks, I think it's incumbent on the Grizzlies to have clarified which Brooks they were giving up just as easily as it is to blame the Suns. Now, I think the Suns won this trade anyway. Because without taking on the Brooks and a conditional second-round pick, come on, who cares about a conditional second-round pick that you're going to stash in Europe or the D-League anyway?
Yeah.
You basically got a 23-year-old Oubre, a 26-year-old Austin Rivers, for a 33-year-old Trevor Ariza. If either one
right.
of these guys can play a little bit, am I alone in thinking the Suns won this trade by there being a bumbling the first time around?
Yeah, either way, man, either trade that would have went through, the Suns would have won. But, yeah, I agree with you. That's got to be on Memphis. It's like, how do you not put the first name of the player that you're talking about getting rid of? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. And like you said, they're going to blame the Suns because they look at our record and all the stuff that we've been through. But, yeah. But this trade, to me, the Wizards gave up a lot. They gave up a lot to get a one-year dude out of Trevor Ariza. They're going to get him for just this one season. How do we know he's going to hang around there? We don't know, but they needed him because they're still in the hunt in the weaker East, and they need a defensive player and a guy that can come in there with a veteran that can come in there and help them the way, you know, that we thought he would help us. But, yeah, the Suns won the trade by far because, man, this Kelly Oubre is – to me, the best player that was in the whole deal. I mean, except of course the Dillon kid, Dillon Brooks. If we'd have got him, that would have been wow. But yeah, no. But Kelly's the best player, and man, and can he come in and help us? Absolutely. You just go in a younger kid that's going to go in and take a Ariza spot right out the gate and start right out of the gate and take some of those starting minutes away from Booker too. When we get Austin Rivers coming in, starting role away from Booker in the point guard position and help preserve him for crutch time. I mean, man, the Suns won this thing going away to me.
I agree with you. And you know what? I think the Suns are like KFC. They got a bunch of wings pushing guys.
Right.
You can see that this should be, no matter who else they throw out there, this job should belong to Mikal Bridges, T.J. Warren, and probably Kelly Oubre as your
correct.
As your three for sure rotation.
Right.
You know, I really thought that Eli Okobo was going to step out and have this spotlight shine on him as a point guard, but it's really looking like Melton is going to take that position and take that job and be the person that is going to have a rotation of Melton and Booker, like you said, and now Austin Rivers and Crawford coming off the bench. And that's the one thing I think the Suns need to do more than anything, and I hope Igor does this. You need a set rotation in the NBA. You can't play guys over and over in different spots and coming in different times. Good teams know when guys are coming in. And I remember Earl Watson once said, well, guys haven't proven themselves yet, so you don't know. But I think they have. I think Warren and Mikal and Booker, obviously, and Aiden Holmes, you know what your rotation should be. I don't want to see Bender again unless someone's
exactly.
injured or it's a blowout or there's something really wrong. I don't want to see these other guys getting real minutes. Bring in Eli Okobo for 6 to 12 minutes a night. That's fine. He's young. You want to see what he has. But I don't want to see these other guys getting real minutes. And I think that's the underlining problem. Unless you see something different than me, I think that's what you got to start doing.
Well, yeah, I agree, too. In the beginning, Igor was sifting out through what combinations were going to work. And every combination he put together, like he was trying to get a combination to a lock. And none of the combinations was working. Nothing. I mean, these guys were not gelling together. Nothing was going on. And then they leaned on Booker more. Hey, we need you as our point. And so they were just trying to figure this thing out. And I could tell half the time he was like, okay, this group has got us going. They're scoring. And that's why those guys were in the game for so long. Or that's why those guys were changing his lineup the next night because of how they were playing in one game. But I agree with you. You have to stick with your lineups and stick with your rotations because you have to start to get some type of foundation to stand on. And he was lost. I thought Igor was lost as a rookie coach. I thought he was lost trying to figure this whole thing out. Like which piece is going to be where and who's going to do this. And now I'm starting to see now, okay, hey, his rotation's starting to get a little bit better. Now you add this guy, Oubre, to the mix. Keep your starting lineup. Let these rookies keep growing. Even if they are making mistakes, let them keep growing. Because in the end, next year, end of the year, they're going to be better. And this team is not going to look like this 4-20-something team you see now. You're going to see a totally different Phoenix Suns team. And they're going in the right direction. They're going in the right direction. And if they get that point guard, man, look out.
That's why I'm on this narcotic. And I ain't getting off the narcotic that they call the Phoenix Suns.
Nah.
So I got to ask you this in parting before I let you go. This was a debate we had the other day, or last week rather, and I'll let you weigh in on it. Who was a better friend to Fred Sanford, Bubba or Grady?
Oh, man. Oh, that's good. Dang. I think Grady was his best friend, man. Grady was his man. Grady was his man. Grady was his man. He's a,
okay.
Grady was the dude he used to always tell all his problems to. But Bubba, he's the clown, Bubba, though, man. That was the show back in the day, man. Where did that debate come from, man?
You know what? When you mess around with the Eds, with Ed Smith and Ed Cole, you'd be surprised.
Ed gonna come up with some.
Yeah,
now
they,
I understand.
They come up. So yeah, you know, I just saw Bubba never got the love he deserved because you know when Fred needed to get his records, his blonde mellow Jello records back, he didn't call Grady. He called Bubba to get his daddy's records back. So I just don't think Bubba gets the love.
But Grady was always hanging out with him, though. Grady was his right hand man, though. Oh, man, you're going to make me go back on YouTube and start checking it out. Maybe I'm missing something. That's funny you say that, man, I just got to looking at a whole stream of good times, man. I'm like, man, those were the shows back in the day, man. Don't nobody know what TV is no more.
Nah, man, and Fred got away with saying stuff on TV that you just can't say anymore.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Just can't do it.
Yeah.
So, but hey, my brother, I appreciate you coming on. We got to do this again. Please tell everyone how they can get with you. And I got a big announcement coming up with the platform that you're bringing out. So I'd announce that we're going to be part of that as well later on this week. But if you could tell everyone all the info, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, man, I appreciate the avenue to let me do that, man. Thanks. Yeah, we got Casual Sports Radio Network is dropping in January, and all the shows are going to be coming on. I mean, as far as being part of the network, we got a star-studded lineup of shows, including yourself, coming on to be part of the lineup for the station as well. Also, of course, one of our Bird Gang brothers, ex-Cardinal Jeremy Bridges, is going to have his show on there too. So we got a lot going on, man. The station's going to be running 24 hours a day. We're going to be running sports in the morning time throughout. And then, of course, at nighttime, we're going to let all these up-and-coming hip-hop artists get on and get their music heard on the station. So we got artists from all over the world that want to be heard. People just want to be heard. Like, you know, they got those CDs in their trunk trying to go out there and sell those CDs. And hey, let's give them an avenue to get on a radio station and let their music play all night, let people hear it. So we're going to have that going down from like 9 p.m. throughout to like 2 a.m. in the morning. And it's like every day it's going to just keep going, rotating every day. And it's going to be pretty cool, man. It's dropping in January. And anybody out there that's looking forward to have, you know, got music, want to be heard, anybody has a podcast or a radio show that wants to be heard, KSRN is the spot, man. We're going to take over the internet, man. www.ksrn.com or ksrnaz.com. You can go check us out over there. And also Casual Sports is going to be one of the shows as well on there. So that's what we got going, man. I appreciate you, and I definitely look forward to having you on there as well, man.
Cool. I appreciate it very much, bro. I mean, I know it was your first time, but got to get you on more than just this one time.
No, absolutely, man. Anytime. We got to get you into the Casual House, man, for sure. We don't have a Suns representative. We don't have a Suns representative. We got to get you in there, man, for sure.
Well, I'm there, and anytime you need, and I'll have my narcotic ready to go because I take that narcotic anywhere I can get it. It don't matter to me. I'll be locked in watching the night.
All right, well, look out for the bat signal, man, because we're going to be calling you for sure. Appreciate
right,
it, man. Thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on.
All right, take care, bro.
See you soon. Bye. Later on. Now. How cool was it to get the one, the only Urbanette on here on The Cave Show with PLR? A couple things I want to wrap up really quick before we jump out of here. Bears beat the Packers. ASU and basketball went down to Georgia. The Devil went down to Georgia, took care of Georgia. ASU ladies did well up in La Crosse, La Pointe, one of the two in Wisconsin. They won as well. The Tennessee Titans had the best celebration of the week. You go to at the Sports Cave on Instagram to see that. The Rams, the Bears can catch the Rams. They can. The Rams just need one more loss. And if the Bears went out, guess who gets a bye week? Just saying. Ponder that. Let that marinate. Let that marinate for a second. Let that enter your head. We talked about the Suns. I forgot. I apologize.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLO.
Apologize for not giving that lead-in when I spoke of the Suns. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page. Sports Cave. Cave is always with the K. Suns trade finally went through. For all the details, go to thesportscave.com. That article is up already. Remember, thesportscave.com. Cave is always with the K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, 1 o'clock, same bad time, same bad channel. Make sure you are checking us out. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to Earl Burnett from Casual Sports for joining in. This is PLR. This has been an episode of The Cave Show that you did not want to miss. Until tomorrow, everyone take care. Have a very, 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 very good Monday. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show.